I preached a little bit Friday at the prison, and I kind of gave this a little bit of a dry run. I got through about 40 minutes of it, and it went well, right? It went well, so I'm like, I can maybe get through a little bit more with you all. I know I'm sometimes sitting down here, and I get a little hungry, and my belly starts to rumble. You brought lunch? All right. I'm getting to the point where I can miss a meal or two, so I'm okay. All right. What I want to talk about today is prayer, but I want to like walk through a path to get there, all right? Obedience. I was laying here over the summer. One or two children showed up on Wednesday. We don't get to come up for prayer a lot, and prayer is so essential, right? Isn't it? Prayer is so essential. So we only had two children come on a Wednesday. It's summer vacation. It's hit and miss on the summer. And I came up here, and I just laid on my face. How many of you, it takes about 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes to get you out of the way, right? It took about 25, 35 minutes to get Sean, his life, and everything else out of the way. And then the Lord started talking. I texted Steve that night. As soon as I walked out the door, I think I texted Lance, and I want to go build off of that, all right? He says, obedience is where it starts, all right? Obedience is where it starts. And if we want to walk in obedience, we need to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and we got to rely and operate on his strength, not ours. Am I right? All right. We also know we have a partner. Who's our partner? Jesus. And we have a partner that we know has prevailed. So victory is ours because of him and only him. Every time I've tried something on my own strength, guess what happens? I fail. All right, so obedience. If we want to get somewhere, and I think everybody gets up here and talks about unity a lot. I know it's been a big part of me. I want a unified church. We're having a tent meeting to try to bring churches together. Obedience leads to unity. Weren't Jesus and the Father one? They were unified, completely unified because they were one. Jesus is the perfect example of unity. And so when we get unity as a body of believers, guess what it brings? Courage. Maybe you want some courage. All right? I want some courage. Some of this I've walked through the youth with already. So the few that are in here, they've heard a little bit of this already. And when you get some courage, what's that lead to? It leads to some boldness. All right? How many of you want some boldness? I want some boldness to, like, when we walk out the door. How many of you, like, when you're walking through a store and the Holy Spirit drops something on you and there you are, there's that person and you give them a word that Holy Spirit gave you and it freaks them out? You want more of that? That takes some boldness. It's happened a few times. Most of the time you try to be obedient. And here's the biggest part. Boldness leads to his glory. All right? It leads to his glory. Do we want to see his glory? All right. I got some scriptures. I cut them down from 40 to about 17 or 18. You're welcome. All right. Exodus 33:18. This has been a prayer that's been on my heart. It's a simple, simple verse. Exodus 33:18. I see two kids in here from youth. They should know this already because we've been going over it for like 4 or 5 weeks now. Exodus 33:18, it says, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. And then I want you guys to go to Exodus 34:10-15. Exodus 34:10-15. And it says, behold, I am making a covenant with before all your people, and I will do marvels such as not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is the awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I will drive out therefore the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, let it become a snare in your midst. You shall tear down their altars and break their pillars and cut down their Asherim, for you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make covenant with the inhabitants of the land when they whore after the gods and sacrifice to their gods, and you are invited, you eat of their sacrifice. That's a lot right there. Let me break it down just a little bit. It says in verse 10, I will do marvels such as not have been created in all the earth or any nation. Did he do that? He did that, all right? So God's not a liar. We've covered that, I think, the last time I was up here, and I covered that a lot. For it is awesome thing that I will do with you. Verse 11 tells you he's going to drive out your enemies. So if as we build our relationship with him and we trust him, he's driving out our enemies. And then we have to be mindful of those snares and those traps, because the devil, he's sneaky, and he lays those traps. So as I was laying up here on a Wednesday night, I wanted to know, why is it taking Sean 25 to 35 minutes to get out of the way? What snares or traps have I keep falling in over and over again? I said, Lord, you promised to tear down. You promised to tear down, so show me how to tear them down. I don't want that influence if it's not of you. I want you to show me your glory. And then he will start opening your mind. He'll start speaking to you, and he reminds you that he is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. I left my phone over there. How many of you have one of those? How many of you spend too much time on it? For the last 4 or 5 weeks, every Sunday morning I get in here, it tells me how much time I've spent on it during the week. It's going down and down and down and down and down. I'm like, good. I spend way too much time on it. He's a jealous God. I was asking the prisoners Friday, how many of you feel dirty? I mean, sometimes we want to approach that throne of grace and we want to come boldly, but we feel dirty. And you got to remember, the word that he spoke over his disciples is a word for us today. There's 7,000 promises. We've been going over promises downstairs too. We went through and broke them down into like four categories. But 7,000 promises are for you today. All right? Not for futuristic, not for your past. They are for you today. And so we got to start knowing them. So as I try to bring up the youth, I want them to be steeled in their heart, tattooed on their heart, so they know these promises when they start having these snares and traps that they may fall into, that they know who to call upon. Like Joel 2:32, you call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be delivered, or shall be saved, however you want to, whatever version you go to. But John 15:3, it's been ever since me and Danielle found it a couple years ago. He says, you are already clean. You are already clean because of the word I spoke over you. All right, so I'm like, okay, Lord, I feel clean. So I repented for anything going on in my life. I felt renewed, I felt restored, I felt refreshed. And Psalms 51:10, it's always on my heart, which is what verse? Create in me a clean heart. I keep saying that one a lot. It's a good one to go back to. I pray Psalms 103 over myself. I pray Psalms 91 over myself. I spend a lot of time more now in prayer, and I'm watching him work, all right? And it starts with being obedient to that. So you know why Jesus never wavered? He never wavered because there was nothing in the world on him or nothing in the world in him. So he knows who he was in the Father, which started with obedience. There's all the blessings. I know we went through Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. We've done that a lot. But Jesus knew how to, my life verse, Psalms 46:10, be still. Be still. I mean, my mind goes 100 miles an hour sometimes. My old job kept me going 120 miles an hour. This new job's starting to slow you down. And you know how good the Lord is? It's been 3 years. And I get promoted next July, make a little bit more money, same benefits, same amount of time. He's using you, and you finally release because you want to get back into the industry you came from, because the money seems like it's there, but then the stress is there as well. But he's going to promote you from within. The amount of times, Willie, I know you go to prisons. Isn't it a blessing? It's a blessing to talk to these people that feel down and they feel dirty, and you're going to speak a word over them. God has been blessing me with getting to know some of these gentlemen, and they're not bad individuals. They just got caught doing stuff that you've done too. They really have. All right. So Jesus knew how to be still. So God in the flesh prayed to the God in heaven. And I read this from something, because I read a lot. You weren't just made to represent God. You were to reflect him. Comes back to Genesis. A lot of us have heard the phrase being an image bearer. I know Sonny has talked about how we bear the image of God. We were made in his image. We are made in his image. I used to think that I had to work and be approved to live in that image. How many of you have been there? All right? I thought I wasn't worthy of it. I think that's why sometimes you lay and you try to get in prayer and it takes you 25, 35 minutes to get out of the way because you don't feel worthy of it. And that's stinking thinking, and you don't want to be even on that stinking thinking. Genesis doesn't say we bear God's image like a uniform we put on or take off. He says we were created in it. If we were created in his image, then we're in him, right? We're in him. So I've been throwing a lot of thoughts out, been throwing a lot of performance-based things out of whatever. I love soaking up more knowledge, reading more books, and you need to spend more time in this because this is what matters. And my stinking thinking's going away. Sometimes now I'm only down for a minute or two and he's speaking to you right away. You just got to get it. And I had to figure out that it's not a performance. It's not a performance, it's identity. And that identity is being in him, and we need to know who we are. How do we get to know who we are? We got to get on our knees. We got to get on our face. And I'll get to this in a little bit longer in the message. When Jesus prayed, what did he do? Did he get down on his knees? He looked up. He looked up. I'll get to that in a minute. And the truth, that truth that I have identity in him, I had huge implications. It's not just about faith. It's about how we lead, we build, we serve. And I'm glad he slowed my life down because he's showing me more of that, how to lead, build, and serve. And then I learned that my value isn't earned. I can't go try to do more, and my value is still going to be the same. I'm just going to be a little bit more wore out. And I've learned that your identity isn't fragile if you know who you are. All right? If you know who he is, your identity's not fragile. Your purpose starts with who you already are today. All right? You get me? All right. This alone should challenge the way you see yourself because it challenged me in the way you see others. How could your leadership change if you saw people, including yourself, as God's image beings? Would it make you love your neighbor different? It makes me love 75 to 80 students, maybe 100, throughout the school year at the prison. It makes me look at them different. Some I relate to. Danielle tells me I'm 14 at times, so some of them have 8th grade educations, and that's all they got. So I do relate a little bit. But I have to still be the person in charge and keep it a certain way. Now that we have a church body, we know our identity in Christ, we become a unified body of sisters and brothers. That's kind of what we're going to go to this camp tonight or this tent meeting. I mean, we're trying to unify them. I want this one to be the one that unifies the pastors of Terre Haute. Because if we knew who we are and we didn't care if you went to a different church next week and then you went to a different church the other week, it's not about how many people are in here. It's about believing, and we become unified and knowing who we are in Christ. We are going to be unstoppable, all right? The disciples were unstoppable. I mean, they just went, and Jesus was unstoppable. He just went and spoke the word, and things happened. And when we get that unified, it brings strength, motivation, and a sense of belonging. And here's something I think I've lacked for a while, and I love criticism, and Lance once spoke to me. We were out to eat. And you said, you need more confidence. Guess what I told Todd on that Wednesday? Confidence. You got to get more confidence. And you got to rely. You got to trust more on him. And then when we get more unified, you get more motivation. You get more harmony. You get more peace. You get more empathy. And you get more understanding. The more you get in this word, he helps you grow. And unity, remember it started with obedience to unity. And unity will lead with evangelism. There is a lot of lost souls out there. There's a lot of lost souls. Out of 40 minutes on Friday delivering a message, I'll say there was 35 to 40 people there. Let's just say 39 of them received it and one didn't over one thing, the bride of Christ. I'm not a bride. I'm like, yes, you are. They used to understand. And I wasn't going to sit there and argue with them because they like to do that. And that just takes the rest of your time. I was like, get with me after or write me a note and I'll write you back through the prison mail. All right. John 17:23. Jesus wants us to be unified so that the world will know that he is God, God's son, and that he loves them. Unity leads to courage, all right? Courage is the strength to act in the face of fear, danger, or difficulty, often rooted in faith and the trust in God. It involves, Chris, facing adversity. You guys just faced some adversity, and it takes courage to continue walk it out. There's been times in my life where I should have had some courage. And how many of you have been mad at God? Do you say some wrong things? All right, does he still love you? That covenant strong enough where you can't break it? All right, thank you, Lord, because I probably broke it 1,000 times. But facing adversity, despite the potential consequences, there are times where he told me to do something and I didn't, so there was some dirt. And I watched through, I read through the word, Joshua 1:6-9. I won't throw it up there. There's Daniel 6:10. There's Daniel 3:16-18. So people that face some adversity. When Moses died, what did Joshua have to do? Had to step up, all right? Had to step up. He wanted to keep that word upon his heart, always flowing and keeping him strong. Daniel prayed 3 times a day when he wasn't supposed to. Is that courage? There was consequences, but he still prayed. I never say these names right. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. What did they do? They got thrown in the fiery furnace, right? Because they didn't follow the rules of the land. But they had the courage to say, he's God, you're not. There are times in life where you have to do that. So I read a few books. I came up with, I think, 4. How to cultivate courage, spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus, spend time with Jesus, spend time with Jesus, and allowing his word to fill your heart with truth and confidence, and remembering the promises of his unwavering presence. And again, there's 7,000 promises that we need to step through, learn, and grab a hold of. In every situation in life, I think the last time we all met to down on a Wednesday, we walked through, I don't know, a handful of promises. Now, if I stood here and asked you, can you name 10 promises that are in the book? That's challenging, isn't it? Name 10. Homework, name 10 without looking it up. And we didn't even get through them. I mean, I want them to know that when they're 18, 19, and they're ready to go into the world or come up here to adult church, they should have that instilled in their hearts. They should know 10 promises. Of God, what to call upon. So we walked through them. We went through them twice. And here's the third one. Praying for courage and seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't do anything without the Holy Spirit, right? It's be the first thing we do in the morning as we go to the throne, Matthew 6:33, and we listen. We don't speak. We listen. And Holy Spirit, I know Sonny said it, Lance has said it, Holy Spirit will take you to the throne and you will hear what the Father is saying. And that goes about your day. All right? And then you're going to draw strength from past experiences in God's faith. Chris, you're going to be able to have a testimony, which you already did. It's going to even get bigger and bigger and bigger because of the things you guys are walking through, because of your faith. All right? Courage leads to boldness. Boldness is willing to take risk and act. Unconventionally, it's fearlessness. If God gave you a word, you guys go out to eat today. Holy Spirit gives you a word. I had a word for our waiter on Tuesday. It was mine and Danielle's anniversary. Took her out. This guy was on fire for the Lord, wasn't he? Getting ready to go to Montana, and he's getting ready to do some church stuff out there in Montana. All kinds of stuff, and he just kept talking, but he was a young kid, and man, he was just on fire for the Lord. I'm like, man, I want to bless him. We gave him a really good tip, and I wrote his name down because I knew I wouldn't remember it. I want to continue to keep praying for him. If we ever see him again, we'll at least see him in heaven. And often refers to the courage and conviction to speak and act according to one's faith, especially facing opposition and adversity. Courage means being courageous, confident, and fearless. And somebody said, isn't courage the same as boldness? Is courage the same as boldness? It is not. Look it up. I want to be bold. Do you think the disciples prayed to be bold? They did. All right. In Acts 4:29-31, the disciples prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness. All right. Several things in Scripture showed boldness. Paul, Peter, David, Moses, Daniel showed it in challenging situations. Paul's boldness to preach the gospel, all right? And Peter spoke of great boldness about Jesus. That would be awesome to go back and watch, all right? The Holy Spirit makes you bold. We get an amen? The Holy Spirit makes you bold. Boldness is a mark of a spirit empowerment and is granted in a response of prayer amidst persecution. The fear of failure is the enemy of boldness, because sometimes we don't go forward because we're fear. Fear is a liar. And we don't go forward because of fear and rejection and all those things. We're scared to take risks. All right? Psalms 109:4, but I give myself to prayer. I give myself to prayer. Hebrews 4:16, let therefore come boldly to the throne. Linwood, thank you for that verse about 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. I use it a lot and been a big part of my life. I never speak to anything that he's said or done. I listen to, and that is something that he etched in my heart. I've been going probably 10 years now. Thank you. And just bear being you, all right? I know it's in here, but you brought it forth, and it's just coming boldly before that throne. Ephesians 6:19-20, to open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. All right. Why was Jesus so bold? There's an easy answer to it. All right. Why was Jesus so bold? The obvious answer, that he was God in the flesh. Right. Let's go with that. Right. But still had to be obedient first. Right. He was in the flesh, but he still had to be obedient. If Jesus still had to be obedient and he is our example to follow, Paul says, if you can't be like him, be like me. I want that. If you can't be like Jesus, try to be like me. You don't want to follow me around sometimes, right? Do I want to follow you around, Lance, sometimes? Do you have some times where you don't look so Christian? Sometimes. And we all do. We all fall short, all right? Yeah. Lance brought us some sweet corn a couple weeks ago. It was really, really, really good. And they got to meet our dog. Our dog's named Moses. And I've used this joke before. I do talk to Moses every day. He's great. He's my best friend. And they got to meet him. And he really liked you guys. I mean, I knew he'd get past the 5 minutes, ruff, ruff, ruff. But he really settled down. He got to like you guys, which is good. And our next person to try him out with is Robin. She's probably back there teaching. We need to let Robin meet him and see how well he is. So if we ever go on vacation, we have a babysitter. All right. So his obedience, Jesus' obedience, led him to the Father being one. So we can all agree that Jesus and the Father were unified. So perfect example as we follow through Scripture. Because of that unity and obedience, he only did what he heard the Father tell him to do, and he only said what he heard the Father say. All right, that's been my last few months, and I feel like the Lord gave me that roadmap to answer Exodus 33:18. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Please show me your glory. All right, and then a couple months ago, I get a phone call from my dad. My dad's getting up there in age, 76 now, and looks a little frail. He's fine right now, but I haven't heard these words from him in a long time. I miss you. Stop by. Come see me. I'm like, okay. Life gets busy, right? How often do you see your dad? Every day? Used to? Some of us still are blessed to have our parents, but how often do you get to see your dad, right? It's a blessing to still have your parents in your life, and the people that don't, you wish you did, and you would go spend more time with them. And I feel that on me, where I got to go see him, and my son lives right by him, my granddaughter's right there. I just got to spend more time with him. That's why I don't come to Mondays anymore, Linwood. I need a free night, and it is, and I need a free night to spend with family, because everybody in here has got a realm of influence, right? I've got 14 coworkers, over 100 students in a year, but the most important ones being Jesus first. I got Danielle. We have 7 children between us. I don't show them all attention like I probably should. Life gets busy. And it just gets busy. Or I get that phone call from my dad. All right, stop by sometime, I miss you. And I'm up here a second time this summer when we only had a few kids. Lance, you were on vacation, and I decided to come up. And Sonny comes in here and says, hey, you're running prayer. You remember that? Jeff, there was only a few of us here that night. And I'm laying on my face trying to get out of the way. And guess what the Lord says? I miss you. I'm in tears. I mean, the Lord's saying, I miss you. And I'm like, Lord, I talk to you every day. He's like, but I miss you. I want to spend more time with you. You're getting in a routine. My routine is drive to work. You know, I'll pray in tongues in the car. It's my closet. And I want to spend more time with you. And, you know, I got to get more time in prayer. Just not listening to somebody else preach, not listening to worship music. Maybe just turn everything off and shut up. All right? And listen. All right? Say this with me. Prayer is essential. All right. Prayer will show you your identity. And this is where I'm taking the youth this year. All right. This is where I'm taking the youth. This is something the Lord laid upon my heart. And until he changes it, I'm not going to move. All right. I want Zach, Eli, the two that are here. They're going to be praying for each other. Give it time. They won't be bold and have courage at first. I reject those words because they will. And I want to watch them grow and be bold and have courage to pray for each other. They are the future of our church, right? So we need to show them by example how we do things. There's times where things go really well down there, and then there's times where they don't, all right? So how many of you would like to see the youth on fire, all right? How many of you want to be that fire, right? Before school started, we had a prayer meeting up here. We came up the last 15 minutes. How many of you were here? You picked a child. Are you praying for that child? All right. I pray for Zach every day. He's my reminder to pray for him every day. Zach, I hope you're feeling it. I know you're homeschooled. You got a lot easier than a few others because the real school out there a little bit more intense, a little bit more stuff you got to deal with. All right. Show me your glory. This might be long. I'm looking at the clock. Are you guys okay? Where am I taking them? I'm not taking them anywhere. He's taking them. All right. Are we clear? I want to take them somewhere by his direction. I want them to be on fire. I want them. We're not taking me. We went bowling. We won't go. We're not going to go anywhere else for a few months.
You do that sometimes.
I hop. Yeah, I do that. Yeah. I have a weird sense of humor, too. It's all good. But please show me your glory. Lance, you opened up with Psalm 27:4. You went through some of it. If the Lord gave you a blank check, what would you put on it? I mean, there's some. Nobody's going to answer this. If the Lord, what would you say? Unlimited. If the Lord gave you a blank check, what would you put on it? Down in the youth, when I asked this question, a new four-wheeler, I want a new house. I mean, I started things I would put on there. But there's certain things that I don't want to live without, all right? And Psalms 27:4 says, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Everyone say to gaze on his beauty. To gaze on his beauty. All right, if the Lord gave me that blank check, I spoke up here months ago about proximity, and I want proximity with the Lord. I want to be so close. I want proximity. And when I have proximity, I want to live so close to God that I could hear his heartbeat. You know what I mean? And I want to gaze on his beauty. And when I said this Friday at the prison, in there it said, God, you're beautiful. Anybody watch that little, I don't even know how old the child was, laying in his hospital bed, coming out of surgery, and how he was crying out and seeing the Father and seeing Jesus. Did you guys see that? Did it catch you? I showed it to the youth. I mean, it was so good. And what did he keep saying? God, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. And I'm like, where's that in Scripture? Where's that in Scripture? I know it's in there, so this is where I found Psalms 27:4. And you just don't say it. You look at him. I mean, you look at him and you say, God, you're beautiful. What does that mean, that God, you're beautiful? That means all that he is. I mean, all of his attributes, all the truths of his nature. It's absolutely like stunning, all right? His mercy is beautiful. His grace is beautiful. His righteousness is beautiful. His justice is beautiful. His kindness is beautiful. All that he is beautiful. And you know what else is beautiful? His discipline. His discipline is beautiful because he's right and he's just and he will correct you because he's a good father, right? David said, one thing I want to dwell in the house and gaze on his beauty. And Jesus said it this way, Father, I desire, John 17, you went there already too, for those that you have given me would be with me where I am, and they behold my glory. Jesus' prayer for you is that you would be with him and where he is, and that you would look at him. You hear me? You would be with him where he is at, and you would look at him. We always talk about our prayers to Jesus. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He wants you close to him. He wants you looking at him. What happened if we go to the Bible story where Peter's getting ready to walk on water, and when he took his gaze off of him, what happened? He sunk, all right? Sometimes we get so busy in life, we're taking our eyes off the prize, Jesus being the prize, and we sink. And then we have to, like, dig ourselves back. But you don't have to. You start right where you left off. That has stuck with me from Johnny Taylor. You don't have to go back and start over. You just pick up right where you're at. This is not reaching for a God that's hiding from us, because he's not hiding from us, all right? He does play hide and seek a little bit to a degree. He's saying, come find me, all right? But when he's like, if you're playing with your grandkids, your children, his hand's out. Like, see me? I'm right here. Come find me. All right? And then you want to go a little bit deeper. Some of us are diving a little bit deeper. There's so much of him. You're going to spend eternity learning something new about him every day. Every day. And there's no time in heaven. All right? You're going to learn something new. Think of that for eternity. We can't even grasp. There's something new about him, and something even more about him, and something even more about him, make you fall in love with him even more. There's been a dream before anything was created. God had a dream. All right? Ephesians 1:4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Say holy and blameless. You are holy and blameless because of the blood he spilled. You are clean, all right? Then a few verses before Judas betrayed Jesus, John 17, verse 24. Read it off the screen. Father, I desire. Say, I desire. That they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory and which you have given me, for that you loved me before the foundation of the world. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He formed you in your mother's womb. If you start putting scripture together and it's building upon, because it's all connected. It's all connected of how much he loves you. His thoughts are for you. The things that he will do for you, the courage he will give you, the boldness he will give you. He's been right there the whole time, all right? And to sum up the gospel in one word would be desire. Would you agree? Desire. He desired. And this is what he came to do, to show us Abba. Come to show us the Father. Show us the Father. And there's only one way to heaven. I don't care where you go, wherever, there's only one way to heaven. Don't let anybody spin it any other way. There's one way, and that way is Jesus. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. All right? So Jesus is praying for you right now, and he wants you to see him. He wants you to see him. You hear me? He wants you to see him. Jesus looking at that dream before there was anything created. He didn't want a social club. He didn't want a religion. He didn't want Christianity to a degree. He wanted people to what? Be a bride. He wanted a bride. If we go read Proverbs 31, the good wife part of it, exchange the bride or the wife and put your name there, all right? Go do that. It'll change you. Go take yourself and put yourself where it says bride or wife, all right? And read it. Read it with your heart open. He wants you to be lost in the search and discovery of him. And the more knowledge we get, we had to do a lot of shadow and types in Kineo. The more and more you open up the Old Testament, the more and more you see him, makes you fall in love with him even more. It does. It makes you fall in love with him even more. So Jesus' prayer for you is the power of boredom to fall off your life. The power of boredom to fall off your life. What do you do when you get bored? You never get bored? Phyllis is the wise one. That's why we go to her for a lot of counsel. I get bored because that's when I open my phone up and start playing dumb games that nobody's taking me to the World Series. There's no scouts out there looking for me. It's a waste of time. So Jesus wants to break the power of boredom off your life. He's going to break that power of boredom off your life too. The God who has everything longs for something, all right? The God who is completely self-sufficient, he's eternal, his everything within himself longs for something. There is one thing that he longs for. It's someone. Not something, it's someone. And that someone, look to the person next to you and say, it's you. It's you. It's me. That's what he's longing for. He wants a people. He wants a people, and that people is us. He has set his affections on us, and Jesus going to the cross, as he's going to the cross, he's saying, I'm all in. He's saying, I'm all in, but I don't want a religion out of this. I don't need people to make me feel better. Father, I want you to give me a people that are so in love with my leadership, and they're lost in the search and discovery of my glory. Jesus is the diamond of the Father. He's the diamond of the Father. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the express image of his person. And Jesus said, when you see me, you see what? You see the Father. You see Abba. You see the Father. Now we have a face. All right? Now we have a face. Has Jesus ever revealed his face to you? There's a few of us. Sonny was preaching last week. Some of us with that good soil, and we get some of that hundredfold stuff. Has Jesus ever revealed his face to you? Some of you had a dream or a vision, all right? I've heard his audible voice a few times in my life. It freaked me out, right? Did it freak you out the first time? It did. It freaked me out the first time. How many of you seen angels, right? Did it freak you out the first time? No. Friday at the prison, they were telling me there was an angel. A few of them said, you're talking about faces. There was something standing right there. I was like, was it of light or darkness? He goes, it was very light. I'm like, that's cool. It might have been an angel. I was like, no matter what church, I think there's angels assigned to churches to protect them. Am I right? All right. I think that's what they saw. So the express image. And guys, I want to call you into this today. All right. I'm going to go a while. Might be a minute. And I'll figure it out. I want to take us further. We good with going further? Knocking at the door to blow open so that a realm of revelation would begin to rest upon you. Your inheritance is to see God, all right? Your inheritance is to see Jesus, and Jesus died so that you wouldn't check. Jesus died so you did not have to check him off a weekly box. I get tired of the weekly box. That was me at one point in my life. It was the weekly box. I just did my thing. I know a lot of people have been there. But he wants you to be lost in that search and discovery of him. That's what he died for, that you would be lost in that search and discovery of him, because that's true life. Eternal life is just, it's forever. We're working on forever. And why not practice now? Let's practice now, all right? So I started asking God for a realm of revelation, and he gave me Ephesians 1, 6 through 19. Everyone say, the God of Jesus. The God of Jesus, all right? Let me turn to Ephesians. I do not cease to give thanks for you, the remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what it is to hope to which he called you, for the riches of glorious inheritance of the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. The God of God. When I said that the first time, does that sound weird? Does it sound weird? The God of God. Jesus, it says in the scripture that Jesus prayed to God. Is Jesus God? All right, we get past that weird saying that Jesus is God. We accept that. So God prayed to God. I keep saying it and saying it. But what stood out in this is one of the names that he's called. He's called the Father of Glory. All right, he was the Father of Glory. And I go to other scriptures. Paul tells us in Timothy that God dwells in an approachable light. Psalms 104 says that he wraps himself in light. 1 John says that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. And the Father of Glory may give to the church the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18 says, look at this. Here it is. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened that you would know three things. This is what stuck out from something Lance spoke over me a while back. The hope of his calling, that you would have confidence in your future in Christ. Say, I can have confidence in Christ. I can have confidence in Christ. All right? That you would be confident of who you are to Jesus. We have an identity issue throughout the country, throughout the world. We don't know who we are. Some of the children don't know who they are. They really don't know if they trust you guys. And this is just not every youth group. Some of them don't trust who he really is. They just come because parents bring them, right? It's a challenging thing. And I hope, and it's my prayer that the Lord shows them and gives them something to reveal who he is. And sometimes, it's sad to say, we have to hit rock bottom, right? There's people that have to go through things and they have to hit rock bottom. But guess what? 7,000 promises. If you can instill that in them before they ever have to get rock bottom, they're going to call upon the name of the Lord because they're going to remember when. I don't care if they remember my name. I don't care about any of that. I want them to remember the promise of God. You've been a youth pastor, and then you just gave a great testimony. 25 years from now, Lord, this might bless me too. Just no house fire. Do you know that Jesus is our inheritance, right? Are we good there? But did you know that you're the Father's wedding gift to Jesus? You ever heard that? You're the Father's wedding gift to Jesus. Do you have any idea who you are? That's a good gift. You think God gives bad gifts? He does not. He doesn't give worthless, non-meaningful gifts, unusable gifts. So Jesus paid a high price, and the Father's answer to Jesus' sacrifice is to set you on fire. The commitment, the covenant between the Father and the Son is stronger than any force anywhere else. Do we agree there? And there is a prayer that's been dreaming in the heart of God that you're a gift, all right? You're supposed to be a gift that's set on fire. You're pure, you're holy, you're blameless, you're spotless, and you're trusting him. And when you start getting that into your spirit and you start walking that out, he's going to start showing you more glory and more glory and more of his glory. All right, so went through two of them, and then there's that prayer that he's been doing that he wants everybody completely on fire. So some Ephesians, part three, or number three, God is not intimidated by death. How many feel like you got dead things in your life? Anybody? You got dead things in your life? He's got resurrection on his resume. If he's got resurrection on his resume, that he's not afraid of death, right? All right. As a matter of fact, John 11 says, I am the resurrection. It's actually one of his names, which means that many of you have the hope of a good future. You have confidence of who you are to God. And the number three, so some of you might look and say, I have dead things around me. And guess what he can do? Some things need to keep dead, all right? And then some things he can bring back to life. But verse 19 says, is what is exceeding greatness of his power towards who we believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, sealed him at the right hand in heavenly places. God is not intimidated by your situations. He just wants you to sit still and talk to him. He will give you answers of how to get through things in life, all right? So I want to talk a little bit. I'll try to do it quicker than I imagine this would go, like 4 or 5 hours. I did cut some out. You're welcome. Just keep writing and writing and writing and writing. I want to talk to you about the prayer life of Jesus a little bit. And I got to preach again in October. I can finish it then. So I don't have to go 2 to 4 hours. Sonny might be proud if I went that long. I believe the greatest impact that Jesus made on his disciples outside of the cross was his prayer life with them. Would you agree with that? All right, and here's the point. I don't care about who's on the platform as long as they're speaking the word. I don't care if you guys remember me. It's like kind of like what Sonny said last week. I want you guys to like me. I would love if you guys love me. But I go to sleep every night knowing that he loves me. All right, do you hear me there? And if you can get there, I can remember a few times in my life where I was so angry I didn't sleep, and then I had to repent because anger wasn't righteous anger, it was just anger. And once you get that out of your life, you can go to sleep peaceful every night. He puts you to sleep, 2 minutes less? So I lay my head down, out. All right, it's good. And then Daniel says I try to snore. I don't hear it. There's a handful of people that get on a platform. All right, the platform is important in some areas, but it's not important who's on the platform as long as they're delivering Jesus, 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 Jesus. Can we agree there? If we look around the room and some of the statistics that go around that they do every year, 2010 was one of the first times they ever looked at it. You know how many people volunteer in the church? In 2010, it was 17 to 18%. You know what it is now? I read 7, but Phyllis is saying 10. So out of 100 people, 10 people work and serve, all right? It needs to go up. There's only a handful of people, if you look around the room, that get up on stage. It's another platform. They're supposed to usher in the Holy Spirit. I get the honor and the privilege to run sound, and I get to know their hearts, and I get to know who they are. And it's true. They're pure. I mean, when they get up there, they're up there for him. They're not up there for a performance. And I told the Lord, if I ever get up here and you put me on a platform and it becomes performance-based, kick me out. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want it to be all about you. I want it to be all about you. It's not about me. It's all about you. All right? Because there is a greater thing than being on an earthly stage. Right? There is a greater thing than being on an earthly stage. And I want to give you a little bit of a higher vision today. Instead of that earthly stage, I want to give you a bigger vision of that being seen by people, and that is discovering the glorious stage of standing before the King of the universe when you're lifting your hands to him and you're seeing him face to face, and you get to say thank you, all right? You get to say thank you. I want you to discover in these years that you're in right now that we're practicing to get there, right? That's what we're practicing. We live in a generation where it's all about social media. It's all about likes and follows and all of that stuff. You know what I'm thankful for with the youth? I don't see any of that in this group. I don't see any of that. It's so much you don't got to deal with. When my daughter was a teenager, it was drama, 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 drama. And it was social media. I had to cut it off, take her away from it. And I'm thankful. So the parents that are of the youth today, good job. Keep it up. Because this generation wants to see more follows, more. They want the constant desire to be seen, liked, and followed. And I believe the Holy Spirit is giving this generation an invitation. Do you think we're in the end times? We don't have a lot of time left. I think the Holy Spirit's being poured out, and he's trying to get these people connected, all right, to the eyes of to the Father, all right? So I have the attention. Think about this. I have the attention of the King of Kings. And me and Daniel, she looked that up to make sure you're right. Do you know in 2016, Poland announced Jesus, the king of their country? All right? Go look it up. Read the article. Jesus is the king of Poland. What if America did that? All right? And you know what? I thought when I first got called to ministry, I had visions and dreams of preaching like Yankee Stadium, like Billy Graham style with that many people. And you know what? That really doesn't matter. It matters about one person in front of you. If you can touch them, that's great. So I want you to hear this. And Logan, this is for you. Everybody knows, maybe nobody knows your name in this world. but you're famous in heaven, all right? As you embark on this new journey, that doors are going to be open, guess what you can be? You can be really famous in heaven. You can be really famous in heaven. You'd be like when that Paul I know, insert your name, the Paul that I know, the Lance that I know, about you flip the script and let's get viral on stuff like that, making Jesus famous, making Jesus famous. It would be like when Daniel, when the angel Gabriel came down, when Daniel was an old man, he said, Daniel, man, greatly beloved. You know what that means? You're famous up there. Greatly beloved. All right, I'd rather be famous in heaven. How does it start? Because everything in here is aligned. It's aligned. And I walked through a few areas and times of my life where I had to get on my face. And you know that gut-wrenching, the moans and the cries? Have you been there? What happened afterwards? Did you feel peace? Yeah. And because there's times where I felt bigger than I should have been, and I had to get down, and those gut-wrenching were snots pouring out of your nose, and the tears are falling. I've been to Darlene's a long time ago. She'll remember one of those moments. It was one of those where you're just flat on your face. And I would do that in private, because you need to have a private prayer life, right? There's good corporate prayer, but you need to have a private prayer life. You need to build a closet. If you don't have a closet, get a closet, all right? Get a closet. Spend time. My car is my closet. I would get licked. I tried this on Fridays at home. My dog thinks something's wrong with me. When I get on my face in the living room, he licks me to death. It doesn't work there, so I have to get somewhere private. Sometimes it's just good to go drive and get in the woods. Jim Pond gets in the woods. Sometimes you just need to hear nature, and you need just to shut up and listen. That is one of my biggest flaws, and it has been for a very, very long time. If you do this, I'd say in approximately about 2, 5, 10 years, and you walk back in here, nobody's going to know who you are. You're going to be different if you get to that prayer life. And the greatest marking that Jesus left on his disciples was his prayer life. And I could run through a bunch of verses, all right? I'll pause here. Do you know for 3.5 years, Jesus prioritized prayer in Scripture, all right? 30 years he was hidden. Do you think he prayed then? There's proof when he was 11 or 12, he was in the temple, right? My father's house, all right? 175 times in the Gospels of either teaching or prayer, on prayer or praying himself, 175. That's a lot in 4 books. It is a lot. I'll stop here so we don't go until like 2 o'clock, and I'll finish this in October. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen on a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. It said, in the morning. It's ringing just a little bit too much. Say in the morning. Matthew 6:33 says, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's been a life verse for some time now. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, everything else is going to be added to you. And I want to give a testimony that all of these other things are starting to be added. All right? His word holds true. All right? His word holds true because you're getting up early in the morning. And you can find that solitary place. And I'll close with this, and I'll finish later. God has designed you for prayer. God has designed you for prayer. So if I look around the room, and I ask one question, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? I want to give one more testimony. We were downstairs on Sunday, course, because it's church, and you guys were having an altar call. Sunny was over here, Lance, you were over here, and I only share this with some people in my close circle. I feel like this crown has been put on my head that's not of God. All right, and I'm trying to, like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And sometimes it just feels like it's just trying to squeeze the life out of you. And I'm looking at, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Have I opened a door? Did I leave a back door open? What is this? And I just walk in here in faith, and you, I usually go to Sunny. You just put your hands right here and went like this. I don't know if you remember that, but it fell off, all right? And you know how that, why that fell off? Because of your prayer life. It fell off because of your prayer life, because of your faith. It was like the faith of the woman with the issue of blood, all right? It was like that faith. She just got a touch. All I did was have to walk up here with faith, and I still don't know what it is, but guess what? It hasn't came back, all right? So whatever door needs to be closed is closed, and I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So would I go anywhere with your prayer life? Would I go anywhere? Steve, would I go anywhere with your prayer life? I feel like I would, all right? Darlene, would I go anywhere in your prayer life? Gary, would I go anywhere in your prayer life? If I look around the room, you know, how's your prayer life, all right? How's your prayer life? I think it's October 5th. I'll try to finish this because it's going to go deep. It's going to go deep. That God designed you for prayer. He designed you for prayer. He designed you for prayer. Every time he got more famous, every time he got a little bit more, he retreated to prayer. He retreated to prayer. So, homework assignment, you got a month and a half-ish. I think it's September I preach. I don't remember. Strengthen your prayer life. All right? Strengthen your prayer life.